Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Jason Benetti, what are people saying in the group chat about the Bears?
You know what? I don't have like a big group chat. People know better than having me in group chats because usually I just mute them.
This mute button is so huge. You got to get that mute button turned on.
The large group, people like our reporter for the Tigers, Daniela Bruce, is a chronic heart thumbs upper. Oh, the clubhouse is open at 4:15. Thumbs up. Stop it. Stop it. We know you read it. It's a text message.
The thumbs up emoji. According to a Daily Mail article, Gen Z claims that they feel attacked whenever it is used. They say it can be seen as passive aggressive or even confrontational.
A poll in the article also cited the 10 emojis that make people seem older.
I'm usually the laugh cry face. That's probably the one I do the most.
That's old too.
I get so sick of people standing on ceremony in group messages, and then it becomes like Joe and Frank have like a little mini vendetta. The only group chat I have is for this fantasy football league that I've had since I was in high school, and the most recent topic that involved me was one of my games caused one of their favorite team's games to be joined in progress, and it was like, JB, get off our television. We're trying to watch the other game.
All my group chat conversations start off the same. They all start off great. Yo, you see that picture of Rihanna? I saw it. Random question flies in the chat. Hey, man, if you run out of butter, what else can I put in the pan? What? I ain't got no butter, man. What else can I use? How the f*** you run out of butter? I don't know, but it's gone. Another statement flies in. I can't even eat butter. That make my gout act up. Gout? When you get gout? I've been had gout. I didn't know you had gout. I told y'all I had gout. Another statement flies in the chat. What the f*** is gout?
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show here with you for a full boat. We are on until 6 o'clock. Spiegs has got the day off. He is enjoying himself, and damn it, he's allowed to. Alex is here. Tanny is here. That man is Big Ant Heron.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. Hello. He's going to be with us here until 6 o'clock, and we've got some other treats for you as well, including us talking with James Big Cat Williams. You want to get an idea of what's going well with the offensive line of the Bears? Big Cat is going to help us out at 3 o'clock. Matt Bowen is going to join us at 4. We've got a lot to talk to Matt about. That's going to be fun. Chris Emma has got a Bears report for us, and Seth freaking Rollins is going to be on the show at 4:25. And now, like when we were talking about it in our group chat for the show, I'm wondering if he actually watched a little Big Ant Heron and Matt Bowen play Iowa football, because I feel like he grew up in Iowa and then moved here.
Yeah, I believe he's like kind of Davenport, Moline, and that area, that pocket, which would really, it would usually elicit some Hawkeye fandom in those areas. Yeah, I think that's probably a safe-ish bet.
Maybe he's a big uni guy, like he's a big, you know, you and I guy, but probably not.
Yeah,
probably not.
Maybe he's watching Kurt Warner instead of me or Bo. Although Kurt might have been before he was watching football yet, but we can certainly find out.
We can find out with him at 4:25. So set your watches for that. Tell a friend to tell a friend that Seth freaking Rollins is going to be on the show. In between time, we've got other stuff that we want to get into. Since Big Ant is here, why not talk about the coaching carousel? We are going to do that at some point throughout the show, so make sure you stick around for that. A lot of football. We're going to break some stuff down today. This is kind of like my type of paradise because I've got all of the football experts being on the show today, so I can lend on their experience and we can share it with you. So if you like ball, if you like sexy football, we have got the show for you.
I wonder what music we play in the background when it's time for sexy football.
Ravishing Rick Rude's music. Okay, that's what we do.
Yeah, that'll work.
We play that for the people so that they can enjoy it. There's a couple things I want to throw at Big Ant too, but let's start with talking about Caleb Williams. And yesterday, Speegs and I, we even did I think Max put out a video of us talking about how well the game was managed by Caleb Williams on Friday, and how there have been a couple of games lately where he's done a great job as a game manager, and then there people felt like that's a slur. Mm. Like there are a lot of people like, you can't say that he's a game manager. They traded everything to get this guy. And he's like, no, he's managing the game, to which you said,
that's what he's supposed to do. That's the quarterback's job, is to manage the game. Now, some guys, in the midst of managing the game, they also break out into playmaker mode as well, which we have certainly seen abundant examples of Caleb's ability as a playmaker. He's done that over and over again in his young career. But to be able to manage the game, to be able to do the mundane, I've been impressed with not only Caleb himself, but Ben Johnson's game management as a first-year head coach. Each of these guys is inexperienced in their role in that capacity of how do we go about making sure that there's going to be a victory at the end of this, beyond just being uber aggressive, beyond searching for the big play, beyond hunting for the jugular nonstop, to have timeouts available late, to lean into the run game, to just run lead weak when you want to try to ice this thing or put your team in a field goal position, or for Caleb to slide inbounds to keep the clock rolling, or to take the safe pass when it's necessary, or to say that, you know what, the moment indicates we got a chance for a strike and still be in a position to have that strike opportunity, protecting the football, covering it up when the time is there, throwing it away when you need to throw it away. All those things that, yes, a game manager is tasked with doing that lead to victory over and over again, and thinking beyond just the statistics, thinking beyond just putting points on the board, but thinking within the moment, how do I continue to set my team up for success? And I think that both Caleb and when you think about just the way that Ben Johnson as an offensive guru, as a high-level offensive thinker, how he might have been perceived coming in, if he was this riverboat guy going for fourth downs at every moment, and by comparison to what Detroit is still doing or what Nick Sirianni is still doing, like being full metrics based, I think not only Caleb, but his head coach shows that he's got the ability to dial up high level offense, but also recognize moments within the game that just call for a punt and pin on occasion, that just call for running the rock between the tackles.
Which may call for just kick the extra point.
Yes.
And allow your team to live to,
exactly.
To the last part of the game.
Like, yes, turn a two-score game into a one-score game and just move on. Don't tell me about the book or the metrics. Do what makes sense in that moment for the flow of the game. And I've been really impressed with Ben Johnson's ability to manage scenarios like that late, because it's not a given. It's not automatic that every head coach, especially if you're a head coach slash play caller, will be able to keep up with the rhythm and have that sense in the game for what makes sense.
Yeah, and we talked about it in our group chat because I was saying I understood why Sirianni went for two, and I actually wanted Ben to go for two when the Bears went up
seven.
When it
was 16-9,
yes.
Right? I was really surprised that he didn't.
I wanted him because you want to make it nine, right?
Uh-huh.
But in that moment, you have to – it's also about game flow.
Right.
And it's about don't you want your team to still have hope? Because if you don't make the two-point conversion, the game's over.
It's over.
It's done. Over, and they've got no hope.
Yeah.
But in that moment where you actually make a big play – you can follow it up with your team being like, okay, if you guys get me the ball back, we can go and get this game into OT. And
right.
We're at the crib. Like, all of this stuff is a really bizarre moment that I don't think, as much as Philly people are talking about all sorts of stuff, I'm wondering why they're not talking about that as much. But whatever, we're not doing a Philly show today. We're doing a Chicago show. So let's get you back to what Ben Johnson said yesterday when he was talking about the passing game.
Everybody's got a role to play to get this pass game cleaned up. It's not where it needs to be. We're winning in spite of our passing game, not because of it. And none of us are pleased with that right now.
So the wording of that might have felt harsh to some people. It didn't feel that, it didn't come off that way to me. And especially when you hear the whole bite, I felt like in context, that sounded like, yeah, there's still things that Caleb has done well. There's still things that we can get better at. This was Ben clarifying that today, and listen for a particular word on what it is that his quarterback did in the game.
I know the passing game isn't where you want it to be right now, but how do you feel like Caleb is just progressing with the way he's handling our, I guess, managing the offense?
Yeah, I think when I made that comment yesterday, it's easily to the construe it as I'm not happy with the quarterback. That's not the case whatsoever. He continues to get better each and every week. And I couldn't be more pleased with how he played last week. And I know what the stats say, throw those out the window. He's doing a really good job managing the ball game. And that's step number one for the quarterback. And so he's going to continue to get better. The process is really good right now with how he approaches the week. The way he's taken the coaching, the way he's applying the coaching, I'm very pleased with that. And I think we're going to continue to see him ascend, whether the stats tell the story or not.
And I think in the last couple of wins, the stats haven't quite told the story of how well Caleb has played. The thing that Spiegs and I pointed out yesterday, Big Ant, was when the time came for a big play to be made and the touchdown to Komet, you go, oh, there's Caleb not taking the one read, not taking the check down, and in the moment saying there's a big play out there for us to make that could put a chokehold on this game, he made it. That's the type of stuff that you want your quarterback to be able to do that I think allows him to help elevate the team. For some reason, I think that we're in a space where people think that the quarterback has to throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns every week. Sometimes it's going to look the way that it looked on Friday. And no one's mad about how the Bears won that game because of how important of a game it was for them to win.
And it's, I don't know if easier is the right word, but I feel like folks are more open to some nuanced conversations about the development of the quarterback while the Bears are winning. And it's more difficult to get people to see some of that nuance if the Bears were 3-9 right now as opposed to 9-3, if they were well out of the playoff picture as opposed to the number one seed in the NFC. But a lot of these same things could still be very true. A lot of these things were true about Caleb last season. Maybe not a lot of them, but some of these things were true about Caleb last season in the midst of trying to point out some of the failures that were there with the Bears offense around him, with the Bears organization around him throughout his rookie season. But at 9-3, the fact that it's not all about Caleb, that's a good spot to be in and for Ben to trust. You think about some of the third and fourth downs that took place in that game in the first half and the second half, where it's Caleb from the pocket making throws in really difficult weather conditions.
And that's his another arm thing. Talent showed.
It showed up, and it had to, because we've seen the ball flutter on Caleb. We've seen him sail passes throughout the first year and a half plus of his football career. So that's not an oddity, but it was certainly explainable in some of the scenarios during the game on Friday where those 35, 40-mile-an-hour winds that were gusting here and there, you saw both he and Jalen Hurts struggling with that at times, but Caleb more consistently was able to cut the ball through those wind conditions and move the chains as a passer from within the pocket and doing that to playmakers on third downs and fourth downs. And certainly in some of those critical moments, what was it, a 4th-and-5 to Colston Loveland, where he found him as he's matched up one-on-one. And that matters, even if your completion percentage isn't even approaching 70, but the coach trusting you in those scenarios to be able to read the field, see it, get it out of your hands and make that play, while also saying, we've still got this in our back pocket that we can get him on the move and let him threaten the defense and draw their eyes and have the discipline to say, I'm either going to take this one short, or if there's a strike opportunity here to close the show, then he can do that to Cole Kmet as well.
We need to take a timeout. When we come back, I have a theory that I want to run by you.
I like your theories.
All right? Because I feel like I'm seeing something change ever so slightly, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. It has to do with what Caleb is doing and what other young quarterbacks in the NFL are doing or being asked to do. Big Ant Heron is in for Spiegs. We are talking Bears with you here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Great day to have a day.
I love that.
Let's keep this thing going. Here we go. Let's come out the window today. Here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
My, I guess I'll call it my day job. Like, I'm the football guy here at the station.
Big N is the football guy at a lot of stations. It just seems to be what it is that he's out here doing. Today he's sitting in for Matt Spiegel. Spieg, where's Spiegs? Spiegs got the day off. He will be back tomorrow. We will turn the page on tomorrow's show. But Big Ann Heron is here. We're going to talk with Big Cat Williams coming up at 3 o'clock, so you don't want to go anywhere. Big Ann, let me ask you a question let me give you my theory and see if it holds any water.
I'm listening.
I think that over the last 10 to 15 years, as the spread has become so prevalent in college football, that we've gotten a bunch of spread quarterbacks, and I think there have been some coaches that were really successful at taking elements of spread offenses and adding it to what it is that they do in the NFL. I think there are some quarterbacks who have not been able to make the transition with some of the ask of pro-style offenses, and there's been some acquiescing by coaches being like, okay, well, we're going to put in some more stuff that makes people more comfortable. I think the stuff that they were doing in Washington last year is a really good example of that. But I feel like as this year has gone on with some of the coaches that have been in place, I feel like I'm seeing an adherence to pro style, old school pro style offense. Hey, you spent your whole life taking snaps out of the shotgun and pistol? No, we would like for you to get comfortable taking snaps from under center. We're going to have some shotgun packages for you, but we want you to get comfortable with that because it's exactly what we need to show run in our play action game. Does that theory hold any water to you?
Very much so. And it goes in tandem with the return to an importance of the rushing attack, of the running back position. And the reason that the running back overall has been devalued isn't because the run doesn't matter. It's because there's so many really talented running backs. And so, you know, the difference between the top five running backs and the bottom five running backs is probably just less than it is at most other positions. You can find a seventh round pick, the 22nd running back off the board, who can be extremely productive for you early in his career. And so when you have not only the principles of offense and saying quarterback who ran mostly spread in college, come here, we're going to get you under center, we're going to go hard play action, but you also, the reason hard play action can be effective is enhanced when you run the football consistently and have a devotion to that within your offense. So we've seen both things kind of come back in vogue. What we used to traditionally think of as like air quotes pro style offense or a pro style quarterback kind of meant a guy who was a statue. Most quarterbacks aren't statues anymore at this point, kind of regardless of what they were thought of as in college. Most guys have a level of mobility to them to avoid these really athletic and talented pass rushers.
That's an interesting addition to what I'm talking about, because you're right. It allows for even more stuff.
Yeah.
Even in an old school, traditional pro style offense, you can do more. And maybe that's why we saw, because back in the early aughts, and the guys, the programs that you would look at, Florida State was usually pro style. Stanford was usually pro style.
Uh-huh.
And Andrew Luck comes out of that. And then he gets the NFL and you go, oh, a guy that's ready made to run pro style and he's an athlete on top of it.
Yeah.
And so now you can see some of these guys flourish. And I saw a little bit of it last night where you see Drake May doing some of this stuff and him being able to, in the moments where he needs to, go and get you 4 or 5 yards, get you a first down, move the chain. And what did he isn't he leading the league in passing, but he hasn't thrown a 300-yard game yet so far? He's just been really consistent with what it is that he's doing. And I feel like some of the growth in what we're seeing with Caleb has to do with his own maturity. I want to give him agency. But also that Ben has said, no, this is what we're doing. We're don't worry. I'm going to throw some of that USC stuff in there for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to make this so that you're taking 99% of the snaps from under center. But once you see how all of this stuff fits together, you're going to love what it is that we're asking you to do.
And a lot of the way Ben has approached this, because I believe the Bears offense still leads the league in percentage of plays from under center. So it is this extreme growth that Caleb Williams has been tasked with to be able to make this leap from a rookie season that didn't have much of it, and things did get more productive his rookie year once you did see them go more and more time from the gun and allowing him to operate out of the spread. But that's only going to have so much of a shelf life in the National Football League without that additional nuance that being under center can give you, and also the timing mechanism that that can allow for the quarterback, especially because precision is such a big part of Ben Johnson's offense, then being under center just means a lot for a quarterback who's going to play in his system. And in some ways, he kind of force-fed it to Caleb. And there's a lot of credit that should go to Caleb because, you know, we've seen some offensive systems and offensive play calls here in Chicago where part of my frustration has been you're continuing to kind of ram this thing down the throat of a quarterback that it doesn't seem to suit. You can make the argument it doesn't suit Caleb, but he's getting better and better at it. While to your point, you're still seeing Ben Johnson get him on the move. You're seeing Ben Johnson allow him in the gun and to utilize spread looks. There's just so much of it, and they kind of force Caleb to consume a lot back in training camp. Looked really bad, still looks bad sometimes now, but the entire offense is better at it now. And so the operation where so many drives early in the season were being stalled and stunted by penalties, by guys twitching pre-snap, I wonder what the percentage is. Maybe somebody in the Twitch chat or somebody in the text line might know off the top of their head how much more motion the Bears are using now. The first month of the season, you didn't see a lot of motion in the Bears offense, but they just continued to force more and more of it into the game plan. But it hasn't had this square peg round hole feel to it, and both guys deserve credit for that. Ben Johnson for coaching the detail of it and really having the trust that his quarterback would eventually get there. And again, it's his first time as a head coach. He's never really developed a young quarterback before. So there's a confidence and a faith that Ben Johnson has had to showcase to be willing to do it this way with Caleb. And Caleb Williams himself deserves a lot of credit for being able to come along in this way and pick these things up that he has never had to do before in his football journey.
The teaching thing is fascinating to me for obvious reasons. The idea of going, I can overload that student.
Yeah.
And he's eventually, it's going to look clunky, but eventually it's going to look great. I would love to have that conversation with Ben.
Right.
And be like, how did you know that you felt comfortable enough saying, I'm going to throw everything at this kid? And
did you know? I mean, I get the sense that he probably did, but maybe it was just partly off faith. Like, did he legitimately feel like, yeah, he's going to get it? Because the physical talent is one thing. You got to know that your athlete, your student in this case, is going to be confident enough to continue to grow through some of the clunks that are going to be
and
there
isn't
early.
Going to give up.
Right. Isn't going to give up on himself or on you as the teacher. Because so frequently, you need that tangible evidence at some point to say, yeah, this is working. And a lot of professors sound confident. A lot of teachers sound like they know what they're talking about. But in the end, if you're not actually getting results from that, if there's not some of that positive feedback that comes with it, the stimulus that tells you, okay, look, endorphins, because something went well. to have that, you know, that that ends up enhancing your willingness as a student to continue to lean into the process. So, yeah, I think that would be a really fascinating conversation to have with Ben Johnson at some point in the offseason. Assuming things continue to go well, where was that balance of being confident Caleb could handle it as well as he seemingly has versus saying, you know what, this is how we're going to do it. Good luck, kid. Like, I'm hoping for the best. I hope this works out. We're operating on faith here.
I got a defensive lineman. I'm about to get an offensive lineman, and we're going to talk about the Bears offensive line. Next, Big Cat Williams joins us here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.